Hey everyone, welcome back to the Gary V Audio Experience. Once again, I'm Jacob from Team Gary, and today we have a very special edition of the podcast. It's a Friendsgiving episode that Gary does with all of his best friends from when he was a kid, Rob, Andy, and Eric. They talk a lot about their childhood, how they met, funny memories and stories. We really hope you enjoy this one and have a happy Thanksgiving.
People that know you from social media, Instagram, whatever, they'll approach me occasionally. Somebody's like, "Oh, you ever see Gary Vee?" And I'm like, "Yeah, I kind of know who that is. He's an acquaintance. Is that really who he is?" And I'm like, "Dude, you have no idea. Like, this is like, he's the tame version of himself. You know, I don't know where you get the energy, the drive, but I mean, it's a blessing. And you've done so much good with it, man. It's incredible."
This is the Gary Vee Audio Experience.
Vayner Nation, this is a very special Friendsgiving episode of the Gary Vee Audio Experience. And for this Friendsgiving episode, I haven't decided if we're gonna air this on the Wednesday before Thanksgiving, on Thanksgiving, Black Friday, the Saturday after, but somewhere here in a couple weeks, we're filming this on the 7th of November. We're gonna put this episode out, and AJ told me yesterday at the Jets game that this is gonna be the first podcast he listens to in years. So that's all you need to know about what you're about to get here. So I get to introduce my three best friends growing up. They represent so much to me. For many that really follow me, we've talked about Edison, New Jersey so much, and I talk about all that. The only rule I told these three best friends of mine was, I need you to come and fly in, because Robbie Turnick, to the right of me, he's still in the area, but Eric Godfrey has left, and that name may be familiar for some of you, the hardest core fans, because Eric Godfrey is the human being that made me a Jets fan. And probably for me personally, the one that excites me that's in the room the most, only because I've had the luxury of jamming with Eric and Robbie a lot over the last decade through Jet games and such, even though Eric has moved to Carolina, is Andy Greco, who also left the area recently, was living in Jersey, but now lives in Florida. Andy Greco was the only one of these three that was in my actual grade. Robbie was a grade younger, Eric was a grade older, and moved into Edison in my second grade year, but left in the middle of sixth or the beginning of seventh grade, I think, actually. I'll let him tell, but like, so for him to be here is really exciting. Yesterday, we all went to the Jets game.
Yes.
And amazing. They stunned the Bills, so I'm in a good mood. This may air after we lost to the Patriots a second time, so hopefully that's not the case. Hopefully we're still rolling, but perfect vibes. It's like 70 degrees outside, which was definitely not November weather when we were growing up in Edison. I'm really excited about this podcast. They've been tasked with trying to remember stories. We're going to talk about childhood. This is going to be a fun episode, and hopefully, really, my biggest takeaway from this is maybe this inspires some of you, given that this is Thanksgiving week and some of you may have some downtime, to just reach out to a friend that you haven't talked to in a while. All three of them, because of the fact that we grew up without technology, meaning by the time we were all in high school and college and things of that nature, there was no internet, or it was just starting, cell phones, things of that nature. And so with all of these guys, I had to reconnect along the way, starting with Robbie. We talked the most, even like by phone number, and things of that nature. But and then Eric later, and then Andy a couple of years ago. But so that's the setup. I'm gonna let them introduce themselves and have an opening statement, an introduction, who they are, an opening statement. They're more than welcome to share what they do professionally or an interest. But Andy, we'll start with you. Sure. Andy Greco.
All right. Glad to be here. This is exciting. It's a long time coming. I'm really excited to be a part of this, Gary. Thank you for inviting me. So,
of course, my man.
I'd be remiss if I didn't mention who's not here with us. Unfortunately, our friend Marissa, who was supposed to be part of this years ago when we first talked about it.
Yes.
But unfortunately, she recently passed away. So, we want to dedicate this to her as well.
100%.
And
her family. She has an amazing family. I stayed in touch with her over the years. Sorry to interrupt, Andy. Oh, but she has an amazing son who just graduated high school, and an amazing daughter who is amazing. She's great at soccer. She's kicking ass at soccer, from what I understand. And one of the nicest guys I've ever met. She, had the privilege of marrying our friend Marissa. So I just wanted to say that. Dave Stryker, he's a great guy.
Awesome. So, it's a little sad when you think who's not with us, but at the same time, super excited to be with Robbie and Eric and you, Gary. I mean, this is like, a dream, to be here with you and to see where you've come, and considering where you came from, who knows better than the three of us at this table.
Of course.
I mean, it's just nothing short of spectacular what you've accomplished, man, and I'm so proud of you. So
thank you, brother.
I'm really glad to be a part of this.
I'm glad you're here. Eric Godfrey?
I'm that guy. as Sasha will say, thanks for ruining our lives or something along those lines every time I see him, which is rare. Again, I tell my people all the time how proud I am of you, man. Like, and I'll get into it more later when we're talking about it, but like, everything Gary always says is true about where he came from. Like, my mom, before she passed away, she would tell me stories about how Gary would come over hungry. You know what I mean? And we would give him snacks and stuff like that. And like, that was like one of her stories that she always remembered about you. But yeah, super happy to be here. So proud of you, man.
That's because I didn't eat as a kid. We were all very skinny, all of us. I just like
not
we,
me.
We play. No, you were. You were.
No,
you were
I wasn't.
Just. You were big.
Yeah.
Yeah, you were probably the eater of the bunch. But
yeah,
like,
yeah.
We all played a lot.
Yes.
Like, it was constant.
I would need snacks because we just literally played sports for 4.5 hours.
Yeah, without stopping.
Every day.
In Bishop R's. There's a couple people here that work at Vayner that went to Bishop R.
That's really interesting.
And I always tell
them. Probably like, way after us.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They're all youngsters. Yeah. But anyway, Robbie Turnick?
Rob Turnick, Big Green Rob, for those that know me on Twitter. A lot of you guys already know who I am. I've met a lot of you at VCon. I'm happy to be part of the VFriends family. Happy to be part of Gary's life. This man changed my life for the better. I'm going to cry. He got me out of so many jams that, like, I can't even tell you. I appreciate this guy more than anything. And I knew I was going to get choked up. I haven't had a chance to tell him like this, like how much he means to me and how much he affected my life in a positive way. I was going downhill in a bad way. And right around that time is when VFriends came out and saved my life. It really did. So I want to thank you for that.
I love you, man.
Love you too.
All right, let's go to the, before we really cry it out here, let's go to the origin. This should be a lot of fun because I think what could be really fun about this is like anybody who's listening who has like a friend group or reconnected with friend group, I think a lot of our origin stories, you don't fully remember it the same way because it's a fucking 100 years ago.
Right.
I met Eric and Robbie literally within the first couple of weeks of living in Edison, New Jersey. I moved in August. There was a huge farm. It's really, I'm going to paint this picture for you. There was this huge farm. Now remember, this is 1982. Edison is now converting like much of New Jersey from like farmland. People don't really know Jersey like that. Like
there
was a farmer who we
Joe.
All know. Farmer Joe.
Yeah,
like literally,
yeah, an
actual Farmer Joe who sold his farm to a developer and a developer built these townhouses, which... Go ahead.
Please. I was just going to say, because I lived there my whole life, and I distinctly remember, before meeting Gary, I remember the fence in my backyard
totally.
And cows
Same thing.
Back there.
Right.
Eric,
Ellen
yeah.
was scared of the cows.
Right.
The cows used to come right
this
up.
Is,
there
this
was a
is
bull.
How profound this is. These two guys lived...
3 houses away.
Right, like...
Yeah.
Real, right, yeah. exactly. 3 houses away on Tingley Lane, which, by the way, is a name of a company here now at VaynerX, Tingley Lane Trading.
I didn't
which,
even know
yeah,
that.
Yeah, we just announced it.
Oh.
So I have a new company called Tingley Lane mm-hmm. Trading. It's a barter media company. It's literally called Tingley Lane Trading.
That's awesome.
And they live three houses apart. Robbie's house was right on close to the road. Eric's house was way deeper
yep.
down. So it's really interesting. They were on the same road, but they were kind of like one was on the front road back, and then it was wrapped around this huge farm, which yep. I don't know. They both knew because they remember it in their early because they were like 7 and 6 when I met them. So like they were super little, but they remember it. That farm sells, and they build this thing called Dogwood Meadows.
Yeah.
And so Dogwood Meadows is this townhouse that opens in 1982, and one of the first 6 or 7 people to move in is Sasha and Tamara Vaynerchuk. and my sister's best friend growing up, Denise Laurie, she lived in one of those houses as well and was one of the first residents. And her house backed into Eric's house, and we all literally lived within... me and Robbie's house and my house touched with this hill. So we were, I don't know, somebody help me here. I'm not good with feet. Oh, 20,
watch that.
Your
we,
front
we
door
were
and
probably,
my front door.
Probably about maybe 100 feet. Like,
yeah, actually.
Yeah.
And then Eric was 300 feet to the left instead of the back. And so I met Robbie. Robbie's version, ours is the same.
I remember the story.
Yeah, our version's the same. I go outside. First, I recognize there's a kid outside. I've seen a kid. I saw a kid
yep.
in my back. He looks my age. That's all I know. So The next day, I see him the first day. The second day, I go outside. You have to remember, this is a development in development. Like, the houses are still being built around me.
Yes, totally.
And so there's mud and woods and, like, there's all sorts of shit going on. And there's, like, a t-shirt in the mud that is, like, a t-shirt. It's in the mud. I pull it out and go to the house that I saw the kid and ask them if it's their t-shirt.
I don't remember that.
Go ahead.
The way I remember it was just, you know, again, to date myself, 82, that's about right. I was 5 years old. It was the summer before I went to kindergarten.
Right.
And it was a Saturday morning. I was sitting in the den playing in television. And again, it wasn't as hot out. It was a nice day. So the back door is open. And all of a sudden, I see something out of the corner of my eye. I move. I look over. I turn to my right. And I see Gary with his hands up against the glass, peeking in my window with Liz standing behind him.
Who's three?
With a mic. That was the end. Who didn't speak a lick of English either.
Yeah, she didn't yet.
No. And
I had gone to kindergarten in Dover, and that, so I got a little something. Liz was still at home because she was three. She was all Russian. Yeah. I was in the mix-ish, and yes, that's exactly right, Rob. Yeah. I was looking through the, like, you know, and like, is this your t-shirt? That got us to talk. That started the process.
I think it took me less than 5 minutes to get ready to go out and play with him at that point. Like, so it was that fast.
And then, how I remember it, and Eric, before I lead the witness, I have no idea if you can remember. Do you know when we first met?
I have a memory that might be right.
It's gonna be hard. What's yours?
What I remember is football, and literally the story that you always tell, and like you've been telling it for freaking years. Like, that's my first memory, and you know, listen, over the years I've had some drinks, I smoked some weed, and, you know what I mean? So my memory may not be what it should be, but I remember playing football and you coming and asking you, like, your English was not good.
Yep.
And I remember asking you, like, because I had just become a Jet fan. Like,
yeah.
I was not born into the Jets.
Right.
I should actually lead with this, actually.
Go ahead.
So my father is honestly a straight hippie. Like, he doesn't care about sports at all.
Yep.
My mother is a diehard Yankee fan. Like,
I remember.
We lost her several years ago, but huge Yankee fan. Mm-hmm. Dude, it wasn't super into the NFL.
By the way, that's why I'm a Yankee fan. You also made me a Yankee fan.
Yeah, me
too. And your mom made you a Yankee fan.
Yeah.
So I'm literally a Yankee fan because of your mom.
Yeah. So long story short with the Jets, like, my dad would, even though he didn't give a shit at all, he would still watch with me because he's a great father.
Yep.
And so we're watching, and this is 81, 80 when they're terrible, like really bad.
Yep.
So I turned to my dad and I'm like, my favorite color is green. So I already have that.
Yep.
And I turned to my dad and I'm like, Dad, this team is terrible. And I remember him saying to me, like, it's fun to root for the underdog sometimes. And like, from that, between being green and being five years old and just not knowing anything, I was a Jet fan from that moment.
And then the first season we had together was 82, and they went to the AFC Championship.
Yes, and that was, they were like, we cried.
Oh, we cried. We hated AJ Dewey the most.
Yeah, the Dolphins.
When my parents told me my brother was named AJ, I was devastated.
That's devastating. That never actually clicked.
Are you kidding me? That was like the fucking worst thing that AJ Dewey was the single human I hated the most on earth from 82 to 87 until my brother was named that. All right. So I remember Robbie and I had just become friends. Robbie had an iconic, at least for the four of us, an iconic jungle gym.
Yes.
This was an iconic jungle gym.
Yes, it was.
And it wasn't like, it's not like for all the youngsters, it's not like the shit you see now that, like, it was like, Robbie helped me.
It was just like the framework made out of wood with like, large wooden dowels, like bars that you hang on, like the kind you would hang clothes on.
Did your dad make that?
My dad built it. They sold them as kits back then. That's what it was.
It was
there was
epic.
No slide. There was no swings. There was nothing.
Do you remember when we had the roulette?
Casino? I was going to go
okay,
there.
Save that. Anyway, Robbie has this jungle gym. It's super cool. I'm scared shitless of climbing it. My friend Robbie here to the right is an iconic cliche 80s kid. This fucking kid didn't see a tree he didn't want to climb. He was like, so
I didn't
that
see
guy.
A tree that I didn't climb.
I know, man. You were amazing. Anyway, so Robbie and I are friends. This is still summer. This is still August. And I'm telling you, we moved in August. So it's August. We're all about to go to school. Robbie to kindergarten, me to first grade, Eric to second grade. Eric, even though he lived literally 200 feet from me, did not go to the same grammar school as us because the grammar school we were all going to go to burnt down, right? Oak Tree Road.
I don't remember that.
And Martin Luther King was
started at MLK.
Martin Luther King was new.
No, he's right.
And was being built, but we would have done probably another. I don't know exactly how it broke down, but me and Robbie went to Martin Luther King, and you went to what, Eric?
James Madison.
So, which was really sucked, by the way. Between Eric going to a different grammar school and always going to sleepaway camp, mm-hmm. I will tell you right now, I'm so grateful from 82 to 89, I got every minute with Robbie. Like, we hung out every minute. The great disappointment for me was that I didn't get as much time with Eric as I wanted because he went to a different grammar school and he went to sleepaway, and I was always pissed when he would go away for the summer. And then obviously not enough time with Andy. We'll get to his Baltimore Colts leaving in the night part of our friendship in a minute. So, but Eric, here's how I remember it. We were in, so me and Robbie just met. We played maybe 12 days. Not a lot, couldn't be a lot. And then he said, my other friends are coming over. I actually want to talk about you two if you remember when you guys met or for how long, but you, nope. But Eric and Ellen, his sister Ellen, Eric and Ellen came over and they were playing on the jungle gym with me and Robbie, and that's the first time we actually met. But it was like quick, it was like late in the afternoon, we kind of all hung for like, you know, for 10, 15, 20 minutes, and then the Nerf ball football stuff happened later. But did you guys had known each other or not yet?
No, we had met prior.
Right.
Because
we were so close.
And that and our parents, even though they weren't super tight, but they were friendly.
Well, don't forget, this was neighborhoods in the 80s. It was
Everybody knew each other. And did you know Lindsay across the street from you?
Yes.
Lindsay's in that iconic picture of you, me, and her when we were like going to kindergarten and first grade the first time.
Yes.
There was a girl across the street on Tingley Lane who lived in a house. She left literally that year moved to Seattle.
Oregon.
Yeah. Thank you.
My mom kept in touch with her for a long time. And I know she went into the military. I don't know much else about that.
Yeah, Lindsay, if you hear this, hit it. If you're out there, Gary at VaynerMedia.com.
I still live in the same place.
Yeah, Robbie still lives on Tingley Lane. You can find him.
I still live in the same house. You could find me.
Did you know Lindsay across? Because Ellen and Lindsay were friends.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Yes. I wasn't like she and I were friends personally.
Who'd
Ellen
play with? Nobody yet?
Not really.
Right, because Robbie was 2 years younger.
Yeah, because I didn't licensing guys. Like, until I was like really like in school.
You went to that school.
Yeah, right.
Right.
So that's when I met all those other dudes, like Benji Sabrin.
So you kind of met, when you met me, you were just starting to meet him, right?
Pretty much. Like, yeah. We knew each other, but like, you know, I was still young, dude.
You were seven.
Yeah, I was five.
You knew there was a kid there. That's what you knew.
Yes.
Got it.
And then there was a new kid.
And there was a new kid.
That didn't really speak English.
Andy.
Yeah.
Get in here. You come 2 years later.
I was late to the party, so I joined, 84? I think, night 80, 85, mm-hmm. 85-ish. So we're talking like third grade to like beginning of seventh grade.
It was third grade, right? Yeah, I knew you weren't in my second grade picture. Yeah. It was third grade.
And
when did you come? In the summer? No, you came a little bit in.
I think it was the beginning of the school year. I want to say like September, October.
Yeah, it wasn't even summer.
No, it wasn't. It's because it was mid-school year. I remember my first day of school, I had to like walk in the classroom not knowing anyone. And it was just like, I didn't even know you then. I think the first time we met.
And you moved into Dogwood Meadows.
Moved into Dogwood Meadows, like a block and a half from you guys, you and Robbie basically were next door neighbors, and Eric was across the yard. I was a little bit farther away, a block and a half away. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And when I moved in, I knew no one. I remember the first memory I have meeting you, and I think Eric was there too. You're at the courts playing basketball, and I just
played a lot of tennis.
Yeah,
yeah.
And tennis.
I actually kept playing tennis. Like,
I got a tennis story for you too.
Go ahead, you do. Sandy's stories are gonna be.
Yeah, I got some stories.
Dust, how much time? What time is it?
12:20.
Great. Right, so we have to 1:15, right? Because there's a buffer. All right, we're gonna get into it. Go ahead, Andy.
Yeah. So I mean, the first memory is
you come to the courts. Now, to paint a picture, I lived in a cul-de-sac. Robbie's right behind me. Because he wasn't part of the development, he was on the street.
Yes,
Eric. If you think about what a house looks like in a cul-de-sac, I'm looking at the basketball. Robbie's in the back, I'm looking at the basketball courts. Eric's to the left, Andy's to the right, mm-hmm. and they just built these basketball courts and tennis courts. This is fancy shit for all of us. Yeah. Oh my God. Totally. Go ahead.
Yeah, so yeah, that's a good point that you bring that up. I mean, we didn't live in a luxurious development. There were townhomes. We had a basketball court, a tennis court, and like a little, you know, green area to play.
Yeah, there were small townhouses.
But we maximized it. I mean, we used it nonstop. So I roll up on my bike. It's like fall of 1985.
You knew to Gary, take your bike and try to find
I was just
shit?
Exploring. I right. was just exploring. I was like, I heard there were courts.
You were in Bloomfield?
I grew up in born and raised in Bloomfield until Let's I was go. In third grade. Then we moved to Edison.
So you were used to what we were used to, which is go outside, find kids, play.
That's it.
I'm just painting this picture because I know a lot of people are 25 and have no idea what the fuck we're talking about.
Yeah, no, it was just random. There was no...
this was interaction.
There was no play dates. There was no Facebook meetup groups. It was none of that.
Your parents didn't do shit.
Just go find friends.
They said, go outside. We have food for you when you come back.
Exactly.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
Seriously.
Be home for dinner and have fun.
And you have all that land and shit to do and you know what I mean?
Oh my God, we're doing great. We're train.
You know, and both of our fathers are working their asses off. They don't want to be dealt with us.
Your dad left at like 4 a.m.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
So I remember just rolling up to the courts. You guys were playing basketball. People. Gary was like fully focused on the basketball game. It was surprise, him and Eric. Surprise. I think it was like a 2-on-2. Eric and Gary versus two random kids. I have no clue who they were. 20. But right Gary was like laser focused. Yeah. He was like all about winning. And I just remember watching for a few minutes. And then at some point, I don't know if somebody got hurt, but you looked over, Gary, and you saw me on my bike. And you're like, hey, you want to play? And I'm like, eh, why not? You know, I'm not a great basketball player, but I'll give it a shot. So you call me over. And I, you know, I came on the court and, you know, I held my own. And, you know, I earned some respect from day one with you guys. And after that, I think it was just like, hey, where do you live? We got stuck to talking. I'm like, oh, I'm right down the street. I just moved in. And we didn't exchange numbers or anything. I just said, I'll see you tomorrow. And, you know, I came out the next day.
That's how it was.
And then, you know, I think the next day we did like a wiffle ball game at Eric's house in his yard. And I got to meet Eric's. And then maybe like a week later, you introduced me to Robbie. And it was like, you know.
And then we had the same. I remember being pumped because my two best friends were not in my class.
Right.
Robbie was 1 year younger in my school. Marissa was in my class.
Yes, Marissa.
And Marissa lived down the street in Tingley Lane.
Bends, yeah.
And like we have.
You would have been in Ellen's class. But
I would have been Ellen, but that's right. And so I remember you being in my class.
Yes.
And that was the coolest. Like, oh my God, my friend, an actual friend is actually in my class. Yep. And that was the best.
Yeah, it was great. I mean, we had such a great childhood. I mean, all we did was play sports, you know.
Literally all
it
we
was
did.
Just like, it was
that's all we did.
Basketball, all tennis.
Yeah. Like video games, no.
And
like,
lemonade.
A little bit.
We said cul-de-sac golf, wall ball, all the games you made up.
Yeah. I made up so many.
You made up a lot of
cul-de-sac golf. Robbie, I love your face right now. I made up this crazy ass game. There was a gutter.
It's just coming back.
There was a gutter. There was a gutter, water gutter, it's in the cul-de-sac.
It was right on the curb.
It was right on the curb in front of my house. We would go to the end of the cul-de-sac, which is closer to the
basketball. About 100 feet away.
And we would roll the tennis ball. You try to get a hole in one. And then, you remember? And no matter where it landed, you had to use your foot. And you had to kick it. I can't believe, I forgot. You know what I remember in that cul-de-sac was Spud.
Spud.
Yes. We played fucking Spud.
Oh, I forgot about Spud.
Right? That was like categories, and you'd throw it down. That cul-de-sac was central.
Yes.
That was central.
Central stomping ground.
100%.
You had that open space between your house and the neighbors. It was just like a little courtyard for
and
us to play.
And huge shout out to John and Linda. They were my neighbors.
Yes.
They shared that yard. And they completely gave it to me and us.
Oh, yeah, she did her gardening, and as long as we didn't destroy her flowers, she was fine with us.
But we did destroy her. That's why
she did. But she was definitely did.
If you're the grandkids of John and Linda who lived in Edison in 1982 on T-Berry Drive, like I need to hear from you because like they were the sweetest. Yeah. They were retired. He would always wash.
He delivered bread. He always had the bread delivery truck.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. So that's how we met.
That's how we met. And then from there, it was just, you know, we were in school together and we became super tight. And I just remember like one of my first memories of you is you were always looking for ways to make money, right? This is no
Here we go.
No news.
By the way, that's the other thing we did besides play sports.
Yeah.
There was a lot of business.
Gary started that hustle probably in like 1983.
Yeah. Go ahead. Yeah. So you were always, you know, tagging me along with you on these ideas you had where there was a lemonade stand or one of my favorites was the car wash. Here's a good story. Yeah. So it's Saturday morning, 1986, about 7 a.m. I think I spoke to you the night before, and you're like, tomorrow we're going to do something to make money. I'm not sure what it is yet, but we're going to figure it out. So I was thinking, you know, he might roll up around 10 o'clock. No, 7 a.m., my doorbell rings. It's this guy standing at the door standing at my front door with a garden hose over one shoulder. He's got a bucket with a sponge and a bottle of his mother's dish detergent in the other.
That's exactly right, by the way.
And he's like, come on, dude, we're gonna go make some money. I'm like, dude, I'm watching cartoons. Serious. I'm eating Captain Crunch over here. What the fuck is this?
You got your underoos
on. Could I finish watching the Flintstones? You're like, nah, man. We're gonna miss the boat. Everyone's gonna leave. They got plans for Saturday. We got to get out there. I'm like, all right. Let me get out of my pajamas and go wash cars with you, Gary. So sure enough, I get dressed, throw on some shorts. We go outside. We go door to door, ringing the doorbell. Hey, can we wash your car? It's $5. We'll do a great job. If you're not happy, you get your money back. Like Gary had the whole pitch. I was just the idiot carrying the hose. We used their water, and we ran out of soap. And at some point, somebody just gave us some soap. But
we worked.
I mean, he just it was all about just making something from nothing. I mean, it was 100%. Like, you know, there was nothing you wouldn't try. It was just, you know, from day one I met you, that you were just driven, dude. It's just how you're wired.
100%.
And it you know, to see where you've come in life. It's surprising because I never expect you to get to this level, but again, it's not, you know, because you were always wired to be that guy. You were just always thinking of the next thing. And I mean, it just played out really well for you, man. It's a great thing to be a part of. And I mean, even though, you know, it was only 3 or 4 short years where I lived with you guys in Edison, I mean, I have such fond memories of those years, even to this day. I mean, people that know you from social media, Instagram, whatever, they'll approach me occasionally. Somebody's like, oh, you ever see Gary Vee? I'm like, yeah, I kind of know who that is. he's an acquaintance. And they're like, yeah, you know, he's just, you know, I don't know. Is he real? Is he really like, is that really who he is? And I'm like, dude, you have no idea. Like, this is like, he's the tame version of himself.
That's funny because I use the exact phrase, you have no idea.
he's just, you know, I don't know where you get the energy, the drive, but I mean, it's a blessing. And you've done so much good with it, man. It's incredible. It's incredible.
I got to bring up some stories. We'll get to it. I want to keep going around, but we got to talk about your basement in 1986 because when Mike Tyson's Punch Out came out, I lived in Andy. That's the time I spent the most time in your house.
Yes.
Because Hanukkah was late that year.
That's right.
And so Andy had Mike Tyson's Punch Out. We started really hanging in that basement.
Yeah, for sure.
We had I got the Nintendo Entertainment System. That had to be Christmas of '86.
That's exactly right.
And I got 3 games. I got Mario, which came with the console. Yep. I got Tyson's Punch Out, and I got the Legend of Zelda.
I know that.
And we were just like nonstop. And I remember, like, you had to wait. Did you ever get Mike Tyson's Punch Out that year, or did you have to wait?
Maybe you didn't get it
because I had.
We shared it. I don't remember. We shared a lot. The three of us. Yeah.
I never had it. I never had it.
I played it at your house, right?
I had Excitebike.
Excitebike
was fucking insane.
Duck Hunt at Rob's
room. Playing Excitebike, listening to Twisted Sister.
That was a shit.
And watching YoMTV Raps.
And Run-DMC.
That's right.
We loved YoMTV Raps.
Oh, God, yeah.
Boy.
I just found a Run-DMC, a YoMTV Raps card in my basement of Bismarcky.
We fucking loved it. We loved Bismarcky.
Yeah.
Eric, what do you remember about those earliest days? Different school, sleepaway camp. Like, what's a...
Yeah, I mean, definitely when you first, we were like inseparable. Like, literally, like...
Every day.
And like that's what I lived for. That's like, it's all I really wanted to do was play sports. Like, even when I did get into video games with you guys, but not as much. Like,
you got cooler than we did. Like, you got into girls way before we did. We were like, had crushes, but you were like trying to really do it.
Right.
Like,
you were
about that life.
I remember in like fifth grade, the girls were fighting over you.
Yeah, I was
Rocky?
You guys saw Rocky. Xander yesterday. That cute face and the charisma. Like, I was very strong in fourth and fifth grade. But no, Eric, you by the time we got into video games in '86, I was 11. You were 12. You at 12 was 19.
Yeah.
You were very focused.
And I feel like between you were like, it was sports and girls.
Yeah. First, like, it was sports though.
Yeah.
In the beginning.
Yeah. I mean, I thought I could be good. Like, I mean, and I was.
You were tall.
I was gonna say he was like 6 foot when he was 12.
100%.
But I stopped growing.
And now you're 6'1", right? 6'2".
6'1".
You were really tall, right? Yeah. Like I remember.
Because we would play. Like,
you were fucking twice my size. I was super short, and you were like super tall. Fair enough. Robbie was twice my size, a year and a half younger.
Yeah, Robbie
was tall.
Yeah, always tall.
Yeah.
And taller than me now.
I'm 6'3".
While we're early in the podcast, especially if like relatives or friends of these people, we're definitely looking for Bobby Duffy, who also lived on Tingley Lane.
I think his family still lives there.
Is that right?
That's one of the houses that has not been torn down. So I'm pretty sure his family still lives there.
He was in the mix. When I want to stick on 82, 83, 84, 85 before we get to like 86, 87, 88. 83, 84, not only was it us, Andy was just about to come and then came, but Bobby Duffy was in the mix with us sports. He played football. We played a lot of football.
Yep.
We played wiffle ball. We played aluminum bat tennis ball in the cul-de-sac home run. That's how I chipped my tooth originally. Remember I hit my face with the bat. Tooth came out. And then you remember the second time I chipped my tooth when I bit the car and made pretend I was George Animal Steel.
Yes.
All right, we'll talk about that later. But we played a lot of football, and you need more, you know, me and you played a lot of one-on-one wiffle ball, automatic.
Yeah.
Yep.
So that didn't take a lot of people. Football did. So we had Bobby Duffy, and then Andrew and Gregory, the twins. Robbie, you knew their last name.
Bastido.
There we go. That's it.
All right. Everybody who's listening, we're looking for Andy and Gregory Bastido, who lived in Edison, as the twins. Talk about those guys were monsters.
They were big.
They were not only tall, they were big. They were in fifth grade when I was in second. I remember that vividly because that's when I think they moved. They were 3 years older than me and looked like my father. Like I looked like their child. And they were core. They were outside all the time too. They played those two and Bobby Duffy and us three. Then Andy came. And then Michael Bronfman came, who also lived on Tingley Lane. Michael Bronfman, we're looking for you too.
He lived across the street from me.
From you.
Yep.
He came in like around the time you came in.
Yep.
Hey gang, you're probably hearing that my audio is different now. And as much as I'd like to blame it on Dustin, because it's always fun and it's like an inside joke, I just did another podcast where I hit the wire again. And this time I actually like knew what was happening, because Dustin just told me I fucked up in this podcast. So luckily it sounds to me like fine and you'll be able to hear me, but obviously you're about to sense a change in audio. And I just want to jump in and say sorry, and I love you. And remember to pair high fruit forward reds with your Thanksgiving dinners if you haven't bought your wine yet.
Right around that, like
that was Marissa, may she rest in peace.
Yeah.
That was the crew.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And even we like had stragglers because we I mean, let's not forget.
And then we had Odette Weinstein.
That's what I was going to just get to. We had the wars between Dogwood Meadows and the Oaks, the other condos that are 100%. Literally across the street from the Oaks.
Did we fight him?
Three times?
Yeah. Every summer.
Second, third, and the big one was sixth grade.
I reached out to him on Facebook, but he didn't answer me.
Oh, man. I've talked to Brian Chen and Dixon.
I talked to Dixon.
Those are kids we went to school with, but didn't live in our neighborhood. And nobody, like Brian Chen had a sleepover birthday party that was iconic. So, and then Tyler Bunting, who passed, right? Many years ago. 20 years ago.
Yeah.
It's funny. A long time ago. Two of my core friends that were outside of you that were school friends both passed. Rich Regan. When you were still in high school.
Yep.
My senior year, I think.
I think so.
Was my Macho Man Randy Savage friend. Him and Abel Franco. I connected with too. Was on a video with me.
Oh my God.
Yeah, Abel Franco and Rich Regan and me were the Macho Man Randy Savage guys. My class.
Yeah.
And then Tyler Bunting passed.
Yeah.
And what I remember about Tyler, my third grade birthday party was at my house and everybody came over and we played football on the grass in between the cul-de-sac and the basketball court. And like, that was the place I fought Odette first when I jumped on his back and just pounded his back until the air came out of his little body. No, actually, you know what? Big shout out to Odette Weinstock. We really, really fought second, third, sixth grade, like really had a rivalry. I bet Andy probably has some memories because he was in that class.
Yeah.
But right before I moved, because I moved at the end of seventh grade, we were actually very friendly in seventh grade. We played tennis on Oak Tree Road.
I remember
those. You know, that course. We had a nice tennis match. And Tyler, that was like our amends day, like in seventh
grade.
That's
who I ever is.
Yeah.
Right, I know that either.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, Oded was, he was in our grade, and I just remember it was always a rivalry there. You guys would always, you know, it would start with like a verbal war back and forth, you know, who could roast through the worst, and then it would always go over into violence.
But it's sad that
it was crazy because we used to, all like the big fights were always at this kid Marcos' house.
In middle school.
Yeah, in middle school. Like, I don't know what it was, but that was a thing.
Marcos'
house.
John
Adams?
Yes.
Yeah.
We went to John Adams Middle School, all of us. Mm-hmm. I remember how pumped I was that me and Eric were going to be in the same school, which was the best.
You left before I got there.
I didn't.
We were never in middle school together.
Of course we were. When I was in seventh grade, you were in sixth. Yeah.
We were there for
a year.
I remember that.
Yeah, we had 1 year.
Okay.
Remember me and Marissa and Andy in sixth? Do you remember when me, you, and Marissa in sixth grade, when Robbie was still in fifth, we used to walk to school?
Mm-hmm.
And me, you, and Marissa... You remember the story? You know the story.
I think I know where you're going.
Me, you, and Marissa, like, we always would make, like, bombs and, like, shit. Like, we just
yeah,
like,
I did.
And me, you know, me and Robbie loved it. And me, you, and Marissa were doing something in Robbie's yard.
Because
we would
exactly
always meet there.
Yes.
I jump in a second. But me and, we would, the three of us, that would be our meeting point. And then we would walk to school. We were doing something, and a cop rolled up on us?
Uh-huh.
Tell us, Robbie.
All right, well.
Yeah.
You know, fireworks in New Jersey were illegal, and my dad happened to have some bottle rockets at the time, and I stole them out of the garage, and I hid them up in the bushes, which just happened to be where Gary and Andy and Marissa met to walk to school together, and they found them, and the cops rolled by and saw them in their hands,
yes.
Pulled over.
You remember this?
I remember
and
that.
And they
got
in trouble.
Yeah, we got in real fucking trouble for that.
Yeah, they did.
And I was like, found them in the bushes, sure, yeah, likely story, but we did find them.
You did, because I put them there, 100%.
I remember that so vividly.
Yeah.
Holy shit. Yeah, we did.
I remember looking out the window and seeing the cop talking to you three, and I was just like, oh shit. I think my mom came out. I don't know.
What else? Look, Andy, I see you got a list there.
Yeah, I got my list. I mean,
Andy, rattle off your list. Let me pick one, because I want to hear. What's up your list?
The guy's got the car wash story. And Brian Chen, you brought him on.
Yes.
Epic birthday party. That was like winning the lottery, getting in.
Yeah, Brian, just so everybody knows, Brian Chen's sleepover birthday party, which I went to like 3 or 4 years in Edison. And he was like right on the border of Clark. I don't think you guys went. You didn't. You knew him later. This was grammar school.
Right.
I didn't.
And you were up. Yeah, it was only four or five people. It was Tyler Bunting, Max Thomas.
Max Thomas, holy shit.
Yeah, Max Thomas and Tyler were always there because that was his core. Him and I were really close. I was there.
You remember Michael Wong?
Of course, smartest kid in our class. Michael Wong's the only kid in our third grade who voted for Michael Dukakis instead of Ronald Reagan. You know, I said this once,
you
remember this. I literally brought this story up recently. That's why Dustin knows. We did a class poll in 84, and everybody voted for Ronald Reagan except for Michael Wong, and think about this. This is now 40 years later, and I still remember Michael Wong.
Bizarre.
Michael Wong
really
was the smartest kid.
So smart.
I mean, go ahead.
So, all right. So I got that. So, what about?
By the way, Brian Chen. Just so everybody paints me, Brian Chen's sleepover party was the equivalent of going to Coachella, the Super Bowl, Ibiza, and Vegas for a month, and winning this $1.9 billion power lottery. That's how big of a fucking deal this party was.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. It was,
by the way, it was just a sleepover and we played video games.
That's it.
But it's just like the 80s.
When
like,
he hyped it up, he sold it. That's what it was. It was like the weeks leading up to that party.
It's
like, oh, we're going to have this game. And I just
Brian Chen's what sleepover was the first time I heard Guns N' Roses.
Wow.
Oh, that's
how I remember.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's
so
interesting.
So
but that's later.
We had
86.
Yeah.
86.
So, of course, the hustles, we had the lemonade stands,
yes.
And we know all that story.
Yes.
What about our rapping career? Do you remember some of the songs we recorded?
Jennifer the Ugly?
Jennifer the Ugly? The Big Meal? The Big Meal?
The Big Meal!
I think I sent you the lyrics to that.
We like really, I don't think people understand. Like, when people, I love when sometimes people are like, Scary, like hip hop. I'm like, if these back to if
oh,
they knew.
Yes. Oh.
We thought we were going to be professional. We thought we were the Fat Boys.
Yeah.
We really were like, one day we'll be the Fat Boys. BC Boys
was a tape.
Remember,
I wish I could
find
that tape.
We didn't wear shoelaces. Like,
yes.
It was everything.
Yes, we were born into that era. I mean,
mm-hmm.
It was just, you know,
that was fifth grade on the bus. Then we come home. Robbie was on our bus. He was in fourth. And we were in the back of the bus. We ran that bus.
Yeah. Yes.
And we fucking.
Let's rephrase that. You ran that bus.
Well, I was
we
president
were
of school.
Yeah.
And so we'll have to get. Do you remember that election?
Yes.
Yes, I do.
Good point. Yeah. Gary, fifth grade was class president.
Yeah, that was the top. Grammar school went kindergarten to fifth grade. Fifth grade was the presidential election. Now it's fifth grade.
Just to give you an idea of timeline, the vice president with this kid, Scott Robinson, who I helped him, I made posters for him, and we voted for Scott Robinson for Miami vice president. That's the time frame we're talking
about
here.
Miami vice president.
But Gary passed out Dum Dum lollipops and Captain Morgan gold plastic coins to get people's votes. I would like to see a kid in school today pass out Captain Morgan coins and not get lost.
Here, fifth grader, take this rum promotion item.
By the way, anytime we played baseball football in the backyard, you gave me a Captain Morgan hat, and I had to be the Pirates because you gave me that hat.
I remember. You were, and then you ended up being on the Pirates one year.
And you know what? I made the All-Star game, and you, Gary and Eric, actually came out to the game just to watch me and support me.
I remember it like fucking yesterday. I do you know how vividly, the reason I just brought up you were on the Pirates, I remember that vividly that we came and supported. I remember vividly being stunned you were good.
Like, well, I think
I played with you guys.
I know. You kept getting better and better and better with your hand-eye.
And then because of that, I stopped playing.
What about wrestling?
We did WrestleMania with the twins. Dude, I mean, we did like a Survivor Series. It was crazy.
Just to let people understand, like, the twins in fifth grade are twice the size that I am now.
They were like 6'2", 300.
They were like monsters.
And they were 12. And Gary was always like, they were tag teaming him. It was always Gary versus the twins. And somehow he held his own. You were getting suplexed and pile driven. You were just
It was all mental. I just refused.
You always tried to put me in a death match with Marissa. Yes. Every single time I was in a death match against Marissa. Like, you remember, ropes and chains,
you know,
swinging and, yeah.
You remember what I really remember is I would headbutt people because my head, I was just convinced that I couldn't hurt my head, and most people just didn't like getting hit in the head with a head. You remember that?
I seriously think I forgot all of these stories because of the amount of headbutts you gave me.
Probably.
I'm not kidding.
What else, Andy?
I got the tennis story that we had. So Gary was a much better tennis player than me.
It was because Eric was good, yes. And I wanted to beat him. And so I would, when he would go to sleep away, I would play tennis against my wall where we played wall ball for fucking 7 hours a day.
That's right.
One-on-one tennis by myself.
You
were
pretty good.
I got good at the end.
That's a perfect segue where I'm going with this. So you and I was a horrible player when I first played. We had the wooden rackets. And you actually worked with me. You wanted somebody who was decent that could, you know, challenge you. So
it's because I was missing Eric because he started going to sleep away.
Eric was
like,
fuck,
I need somebody to play.
You need a guy to fill in. So sure enough, I took a liking to it. So I started practicing on my own. And you would destroy me. It would be like 6-1, and like usually.
By the way, I just wanted to know my feelings are coming back. I have a feeling of something. Yeah, I have a feeling I know where this might go.
So
it's still a little blurry, but I think I know where it. Go ahead.
So he we didn't play often, but when we did play, like, you were super into it. So I decided I'm going to practice, and then one day, you're like, hey, you want to play some tennis? I'm like, yeah, sure, why not? Let's try it out. It'll probably kick my ass, but let's give it a try. So we played, and the first set, I think, you beat me like 6-4, and you were like...
confused.
You usually just dominate.
Right,
and usually, I would be like 6-1 or 6-0, one game would be like a mercy win, just so I wouldn't quit.
Yeah, exactly. So I was such a good player, and I'm like, no, great game! Good job, Andy!
So this first set, like, you were trying, and I was trying. It was 6-4.
Yes.
So you're like, all right, well, you know, you got better. You know, you've been practicing. I go, a little bit. The second set, I somehow beat you.
Yep.
It was like 6-4.
I'm starting to remember.
And you were like, holy shit. Like, you just, like, something was just in your head, just not computing. And you're like, we got to play this third set. This is it.
This is it.
And I ended up winning the third set.
Yes.
And you were just holy shit.
You just took
the racket. You're like, I got to go in the house. This is crazy. It just blew your mind.
I was
Sure enough, a week later, I think you spent the next week practicing fucking tennis against the wall, and then you beat me like 6-1, 6-2, and you're like, all right, all is right in the world.
I was so confused. I remember. This is what I wanted from this podcast. Yes.
But you know, it was. I mean, at the time, it was intimidating to play in sports because you wanted to win. You had to win. But it pushed us all to be better, like to Rob's point. Like, he wasn't a great player. And then all of a sudden you push them, and you know, you always raise the bar, and you continue to do that. Look at in your personal life, in your professional life. I mean, you raise people up.
It's why, you know, it's funny, when I wrote my last book, 12 and a half, competition, being competitive was in it, and I took it out because I actually want to write a book about just competition and how important it actually is, and we shouldn't demonize it. We shouldn't give eighth place trophies, and it's okay to cry when you lose.
Absolutely.
Think about it, guys. How much did I cry when I lost from 1982 to 1988?
You hated to lose.
Yeah, you did hate to lose.
But
I wasn't afraid to cry either.
I cried all the time.
Right.
I mean, and he would keep playing until he beat your ass. Like, the game wasn't over until he won. The man was done.
And
like, okay, we're good now. We can move on.
I wish Brandon Ward.
You and I were very competitive.
Very.
Yeah. I'm still
very.
To this day, in different ways, I still have very much so.
Yeah, it was so that was such a fun era. All right, what about SummerSlam?
Oh, God.
This is big.
The pool table.
So I just told you about Brian Chen sleepover. Now, my immigrant mom, Tamara, finally lets me have one, and it's SummerSlam.
Pay-per-view.
First one.
Pay-per-view, which was unheard of. My mom letting me buy pay-per-view, you have to understand, that's like buying a Rolls Royce. Spending $18 or whatever it was like $1 billion.
Yeah, it was.
And these three slept
over.
For all
of us.
I will never forget this sleepover to the day I die.
That was amazing.
Especially because Elizabeth took...
Elizabeth.
The lovely Elizabeth, Randy the Macho Man Savage's manager, took off a piece of clothes and had like some mini skirt on, and literally I turned to Andy and I was like, I think we're men now.
Yeah.
I remember that.
That's so true, though.
Eric's like, let me explain to you what China is. Like,
And I was sitting there playing with Hulk Hogan.
Yeah, exactly. You're like, you want to play with the rubber wrestling?
Yeah, there you go.
That was right.
He's bringing the ring over.
The
I know. I just
oh
saw one in a thrift store. They were like $20
for it. Oh, my God. We played that.
Didn't you used to chew the feet and hands up for them?
Yeah. I used to put everything in my mouth. Like, literally.
Not everything.
Not everything.
Yeah.
All right, what else, Eric? What else do you remember? Give us some more, like, vivid memories. Story time. What do you remember when people, like, give us a story?
A lot of my shit, to be honest with you, is, I don't know if you, this is cool, but it comes later.
Go ahead.
Super cool. So, about 6 years ago, we lost my mother, unfortunately. My sister and I just have a couple of things.
Please,
my sister and I are drinking, which we like to do. My entire family went, because this was the first year without my mother, we all went to Texas. And I believe this is when the story came out, but Ellen and I had drinks, and somehow it came up that Ellen and Gary were each other's first kiss. And now, at this point, I'm like four. I know. At this point, I'm like 42, and I'm like, obviously I don't give a shit, but I'm just like, how did no one tell me like this?
Me and Ellen made a pact.
Yeah.
I'm very disappointed that Ellen broke it.
Not the whole world knows.
Yeah, I mean, give us some wine and change
that later.
And then another one.
I remember Ellen's birthday party at a movie theater.
Oh, totally.
And my mom made me give her a rose. It was like this big thing.
Yeah.
I don't know. Was it Back to the Future?
Quite possible.
I think it was.
I'm pretty sure. That was a huge deal.
So 80s. Go ahead, Rob.
No, that was just off topic.
So I thought that was a pretty funny tidbit. But yes, she ruined the pack, so.
Really quick.
So,
Ellen was also 6'1" third grade.
And an excellent women's basketball player.
Yeah,
very,
beast.
Yeah, very, very
good. I remember
player.
When her and Marissa were on the team together, I was like so pumped because they were good friends but went to different schools as well because I was with Marissa. And our, like we said, with Ellen, went to a different school. And we all converged in middle school at John
Edison
Adams.
Edison Rec.
So,
yeah.
I remember.
They played Edison Rec by the girls, I think, boys.
I remember used to go to those games. Go ahead.
Piggybacking on just something a little bit different. So, and you probably know this already, but like the day that Gary's parents decided to move was like, and we were older by this point, it was like, I was devastated.
It was an atomic bomb. We just lost Andy the year before.
Right.
Suddenly.
I was devastated. Even though we were in different grades and we had just converged in school, like we were still like running with different groups,
but ultimately
it always came back to
100%.
Us.
100%.
But so like
you were bar mitzvah. I found the tape.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I
like,
tons of photos.
Like,
I knew it was
such
a big part of
it. Yeah, it was such an iconic day for me. Everybody was Dirty Dancing.
Yeah.
Was the kid Benji?
Yeah.
Oh, my God, Benji.
Yeah, I still talk to him.
Oh, God, Benji. Big shout out to you, brother.
Yeah,
you were like Chris Farley before there was one.
Yeah, absolutely.
Benji.
Absolutely. And the Nicenson twins.
Oh, I love those two.
Yeah.
I played for we were on a baseball team together. You and I. You got, remember?
Eric just moved back to Jersey.
Is that right?
He was living in Vegas.
The Nicenson's dad was the manager of a team I was really good at baseball when I was little, and I was in a 10-year-old league, and the way North Edison did it is I got drafted to, like, the majors.
Yes.
And
because you were better than the other, yeah.
We had a really great team that year, and that actually ended my career. They moved me up too fast. But I remember I was with all those older kids, and I just remember that Nicenson's dad was, like, the fucking best.
Oh yeah, Artie.
I love that
kid. Yeah,
I remember him vividly.
Yeah.
And John Longo's dad.
Yes.
You know John Longo?
John Longo, I remember the name.
Was the best. Coach. Yeah, his dad was the best.
Was his dad one of the football coaches?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Yeah, Longo. See, Longo was a good athlete.
Very good.
Yeah.
In high school, too.
Yeah. I remember when I actually met somebody in Italy on a wine trip when I was like 30 that graduated with that whole crew. They might have been in your grade or my grade, and they just knew Vinny and Longo and Michael Bottles, all these guys that I was friends with.
Michael Bottles, check this out. I opened a brewery in Charlotte.
Recently?
It was my first job when I moved to Charlotte. And
you mean 3 years ago?
No, last year.
So
I hadn't spoken about it. So it turns out Michael Bottles hits me up on Facebook. He's like, "Hey, my daughter goes to UNC Charlotte." I haven't spoken to this guy in fucking 30 years. You know what I mean? But I have so many great memories. So it turns out I end up hiring his daughter to be like my lead hostess. He comes down. I haven't seen this guy in 30 years. We had such a great time. He came to the brewery.
You want to hear a fun fact that you definitely don't know? Back to like we were running in slightly different circles at this point. Michael Bottles went trick-or-treating in Dogwood Meadows. My last Halloween, me, Michael Bottles, and Vinny trick-or-treated in Dogwood Meadows as seventh graders. And remember when you go to Dogwood Meadows and you make a left to go to me? Right?
Yes.
By Robbie's house?
Yes.
If you went straight, Eric Conrad lived on that street. Remember Eric Conrad?
Yeah,
Eric Conrad, I'd love to find you, bro. Eric Conrad's parents were divorced. He lived in Florida or Texas during the year, but he'd come to visit his dad. Eric Conrad's the first kid I bought baseball cards with.
Okay.
In 1984.
Wow.
Do you remember Eric Conrad? Or did you call him?
The name is definitely.
Anyway, on that street, I'll never forget it. Me, Michael Bottles, and Vinny start trick-or-treating right after walking from school from John Adams. We go down that street, and some lady put out a wheelbarrow. And I mean a fucking, not like a Walmart wheelbarrow, like an actual fucking wheelbarrow filled with like 80,000 pieces of candy.
Wow.
And me, Michael Bottles, and Vinny took the fucking wheelbarrow with all the candy. And I'm like, we'll take it to Robbie's yard, because that was always central. He was right there. And we
dumped
it. Oh my God.
And it was also central because Gary was right behind him, so that was it.
Oh God. Michael Bottles.
You actually carried the.
Well, we rolled it. All three of us rolled the whole fucking thing. Which made no fucking sense because we should have just taken the candy out, but we thought, who the fuck is right?
No, I was just going to jump in because of the Halloween thing. I mean, I was talking to my kids about this. I just looked up the year. It was 1987. Halloween fell on a Saturday.
Yes.
We went out trick-or-treating, you, me, and Marissa. On Saturday morning, we were walking up to people in your cul-de-sac. We're just pulling in from the grocery store with candy at like 8 o'clock in the morning. And we're wearing our costumes. We used to hit every house in the condo. I don't remember. That was 1 year. But we had every house in the condos. Then we went to the other condos that were right near there, the Oaks. And the Maples connected to them. Townhouses. Yeah, we connected all
the
of
Oaks,
those.
The Maples.
Then we hit Tingley Lane and doubled back to my house. We changed costumes and we went out again.
Yeah.
We went out again.
Halloween was fucking.
Case, dump it out.
Oh, yeah.
Halloween was fucking huge.
Oh, yeah. You ruined my Halloween party by you bobbing for apples with all that makeup.
Oh, yeah. I was so talk about competitive.
Yeah.
I needed to get the apples because they had a quarter in it.
Yeah.
And I would die for a quarter. just so it's very clear to everybody, Andy's not joking. I would die for 25 cents. We did do you remember the miniature golf course in Robbie's backyard?
Yes. Our only customer was your mom.
Yes. And one other person stopped.
Okay.
But then we have to talk about Marissa.
Yeah.
Who lived on, we would do lemonade on Marissa's house, and that's when that
garage
got, and the not garage sale, the mini flea market.
Yeah.
That's where my early marketing phase came, and I'm like, this is not a garage. By the way, this is a garage sale that had 9 items, but I called it mini flea market.
And some of your stuff was like,
oh my gosh.
Remember it was promotional stuff at the liquor store.
And that guy remember when he filled the $10, when he gave the $10 bill?
And then he wanted to come back, but we were gone.
Yeah, but we didn't do that on purpose.
No, we
We're just tired.
we ran out of, and then we ran out of lemonade.
We were 10 cents. I always believed in low price, so it wasn't even a quarter. It was 10 cents. And
the guy came up with a $10 bill.
That $10 bill was like a trillion. I actually thought it was $1 million.
Yeah. That was huge.
I don't think he even like got it out of his pocket before it was in my pocket.
Seriously.
It was unbelievable. He filled his like bike thing, and like that's why in my trash talk videos do it now, because it's to that guy.
And then
we gotta find that guy.
What we did?
Hey, if there's some random guy who remembers riding a bike in Edison, New Jersey, in 1984, stopped with 20 kids and filled a water bottle for a $10 bill, we need to find you.
Yeah. But then what we did after that was what we did every single day. Do you remember the last day of school? Every single year, we would all walk up to the. It used to be a Krauser's. Now it's a 7-Eleven. We used to walk up there with whatever money we had. We used to buy like jugs of lemonade, iced tea. Gary's favorite candy, Mambas at the time.
I love Mambas.
We used to get any kind, whatever we got, and we'd get chips, everything. We'd just go back, sit on my back deck, and just sit there and just prepare ourselves.
Pull out a boombox.
And we used to talk about and plan our summer.
Oh my God.
We used to talk about and try and plan out our summer as much as we can. Like, because, I mean, let's face it, Gary was always in charge. There was never any doubt. And even if somebody else came to take charge, he took it back right away. But, like, I mean, yeah, that was it.
Robbie, go ahead, Andy.
I was going to say, I can remember something so similar to that word. I don't know if it was the last day of school, but it was, we did some lemonade stand, garage sale, something. We made some money, right? We might have made, like, $60. I remember Gary was like, all right, here's the deal, guys. We got $60. 30 of it goes away. We don't even think about that. That's fine. Just get it out of your mind.
That meant take me to my house.
Go to Krauser's, and we're going to do it big. And we went, you know, big. Doritos, candy,
and $30 back then.
Baseball court,
and I remember came back to our house, sitting out on your deck behind your house. Your mom comes out with the bowls, puts the chips in there. We got the music going. It was just at that moment.
Yeah, we built this city. Loved that fucking song, Wild
we
West.
We begin to rock.
Yes, we were.
It's like I could. I just have a snapshot of that moment in my mind. Marissa
Who else? We need to give some shout outs just so people can like email us and like friends who listen to this that know these people. Remember Robin? Who was the dude that moved into live near you? I think it was an Asian family.
Yes. Were from Taiwan.
I don't remember.
I know it was Ruben and Robin.
Yeah, it was something like that, right? I remember that his mom did the crushed ice with the red bean.
Yes.
It was like the greatest, every time. I still see that in restaurants, it immediately, and we used to play Monopoly with them.
Yes.
You remember? We played fucking Monopoly with those dudes.
They lived like a few doors down from me.
Yes.
I remember that.
That's exactly right. I remember them. Who else do it? Jonathan Cazadoy. Jonathan Cazadoy?
Yes.
You remember the twins?
Brian was friends with him.
Of course, Williams.
Yeah.
Of course. They were fucking.
Brian passed away.
Those guys were thug. That was like.
They were so
there
good.
Was some,
so great
like,
guys. Too.
Like, listen, Edison had like some interesting parts of Edison. Where,
yeah,
like,
the Potters.
Yeah.
That was a fucking. There was a lot of. You know what's so funny? Here's a fun thing to talk about that would be good for parents. Like, fighting was real.
Yeah.
Oh, totally.
Like,
it was scheduled. Yeah.
I did.
Fighting, you would avoid.
I
you didn't want
to
fight.
And to this day, I still, I was always wanting to break them up. That's why I was a bouncer in several different bars. I like to break up fights.
Robbie was a gentleman. I fought.
I did too.
Oh, you were a scrapper, dude.
Yeah.
I wanted to fight.
That rage, bro.
It was rage. If I lost, I wanted to fight.
I remember. I fought a kid. His name was Rashawn Thakkar.
I remember Rashawn.
I remember him.
He was,
I remember him.
Nice kid. I don't know what happened. We got like an argument in gym class. We're playing dodgeball.
Yeah.
I got him out. He said, and we ended up, all right, we're fighting. And I remember it was middle school.
This is when the world was better.
Yeah.
Because once the fight was over, you'd be good.
Yeah, you hug it out.
And I just remember we met at Marcos Hill.
Yeah, Marcos. Marcos, if you're listening, you had the hill by John Adams where the ice cream truck was, the ping pong table in the back.
That's right,
And the fight, I mean, that was the signature moment of my middle school career was my fight with Oded. In that, where I was very close to losing, somehow mustered up the energy to get him off me, and then kicked him in the face, and his whole face exploded. And then a guy stopped the car and pulled us apart, and he ran off. Like, that was the crossroads of my life. Either I was going to win or lose that fight. Aunt B was definitely there.
Yeah. Was that sixth grade?
I was
sixth grade.
Yeah, no, I was still in Martin Luther, so I was there for that one.
Marissa was there, Andy was there.
I'm not sure if
I don't think you were there.
I was there for definitely one of the earlier ones.
Yeah, you were there for one of them for sure. I remember.
There was at least three fights.
There was three fights.
That one in sixth grade was epic.
That was the big one.
Yeah.
Because Oded pushed me in the morning into a locker and got on top of me, and then I thought it was a non-event. And by lunch, I went to lunch, and everybody at lunch is like, Oded beat up Gary. And I was like, this is something, I like, it broke my framework. And so I went up to Oded in lunch, like, we're fighting at Marcus's after school, and then the hype built.
Oh, yeah.
The hype
built.
That's
what it was.
And fucking, there was, you know how it is. There was probably only 40 kids there, but it felt like 40,000.
Yeah.
It felt like WrestleMania 3, Pontiac
Mission.
It was everything. I remember right before, like, we're both in our, like, sides and we're about to go in the middle, I literally vividly, it's amazing, this is 1986, this is fucking 40-something years ago, I remember vividly saying to myself, if I lose this fight, it's over.
Yeah.
Like, it's all over. I can't go to school anymore. Everything I've built here for the last
tomorrow.
6 years, I remember being petrified. And he got off, it's kind of like the Jets-Bills game yesterday. It was like 14-3 before we got settled in.
Right.
Literally, that's the fight. Oded was on top of me. At that point, he was like solidly bigger than me.
Oh, definitely.
He was on top of me.
I remember that.
And
you were like this.
I was on the ground and like trying to like dodge the punches.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And just remember thinking like, this is almost over now. And like, I knew I was so crazy mentally that even if he landed clean, that I knew that he had to like seriously actually make me go unconscious for me to stop.
Right.
Oh, absolutely.
I knew that about myself then and now. I just knew that if he got a clean shot and it just like, if somebody ended it, like it would have been a loss, like a decision.
Right.
So I remember vividly deciding thank God we all wrestled so much.
Mm-hmm.
I was able to like do the fucking side to side. And when we fell off, I had the leverage and I fucking kicked him right in his fucking face. And he just started bleeding so heavy. And Tyler Bunting was his boy, may he rest in peace. And watching them run back towards the school.
That's probably like your greatest.
It's the best day of my life.
I remember that whole scene so vividly. His face like exploded. It was crazy.
But I feel like, one of the guys just told, I wasn't there.
I heard it too.
I told that story 7 times for the next 24 hours.
Well, yeah.
Like, I was,
your crown jewel.
I mean, I might have to make a documentary about it. Like, you know, like, that was big.
The one fight I had with that kid, Rashawn, was,
yeah.
You were there. You were like my hype man. You were my
partner. Yeah, 100. I remember it. I don't remember him, believe me.
I do remember him.
He was significant.
I remember how much I needed you to win.
Yes. Yeah. We were both pretty little.
Uh-huh.
You know, I was about the same height, very skinny.
Yep.
But I was a wrestler, too. And, you know, we were very physical kids, very, very athletic. And I just remember he was a bigger kid. And he was pissed because I really got under his skin at dodgeball. Whatever I did, I might have said something.
Yep.
Might have called his mother something.
Yeah, yeah,
of course.
Sure. Nothing was politically correct.
No. So we're at Marcus's Hill, and Gary said, listen, just get in there early, lay a couple shots in. Next thing you know, somebody's going to break it up. You're going to be the winner. Just get in quick.
Yeah.
Don't wait. Don't let him strike first.
That's right. Go fast.
He was just like,
that.
Go for the kill. You know, so you know, the first like 30 seconds of the fight, we should kind of, you know, pull each other out, screwing each other up.
And I'm like Rocky's corner.
Yes.
Like, Andy,
he's
go.
Like,
go.
Watch the kick. Watch the leg.
Do something.
So I just remember at one point, I just go for it. I just rush him. I grab him. I grab him by the shirt. He picks me up off the ground, lifts me up. He's much bigger than me. Then I grab him in a headlock. We're on the ground. We're scrapping. I might have scraped his lip and drew a little bit of blood. And I remember he gets up, he tastes the blood, and Gary looked at me, he goes, yeah. So I just said, all right,
blood was
this
the winning thing.
This was it.
I remember people getting into fights at Martin Luther King, winning, but getting scratched. And like, remember, like, even then I was thinking about like how people fought things.
Right.
I'm like, blood meant win.
That's right.
Yeah, no, that's
right. Because to your point, shortly after that, this kid tastes the blood.
Oh, Robert,
he looks over me. He saw red because he knew, all right, I'm losing this fight if I don't do something big. So he comes in, and I swear to God, he hit me with 3 body blows that were solid. Didn't faze me somehow. I guess
adrenaline.
I just, too much adrenaline, but he got me good. Like, he had me by the shirt. He was, like, hauling into me. 3 clean shots. And I pushed him away. I threw a punch, didn't land it. And then I just remember somebody stepped in. Mark was like, all right, it's over, it's over. Andy's the winner. He drew blood. And it was like the kid, Rashawn, his mind was blown. He's like, I just hit him with like three haymakers in the stomach. And I'm walking in with the L because I got a little scratch on my face, but that's just how it was. And then Gary immediately
hyped the shit out of him. He's like, and these are like Tyson of our generation.
Yeah, if he was like unconscious on the ground, and Gary would have hyped him up as well.
I always have my voice back.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Robbie. You had something. Your face
no, just
up.
A name that I haven't thought of in a long time from Martin Luther King. Do you remember what was his name? Biddy? The big dude that was like one security guard?
Oh, no.
No, okay.
I don't remember.
Don't worry about it.
How about the election? What do you remember about fifth grade election?
Fifth grade election?
We made posters 24/7.
Yeah, I made a lot for Scott Robinson.
My mom.
Too.
Yeah, you were double winner.
Yeah. I was back in both of both my boys.
Do you remember, Andy, quiz question. Do you know who I went against for president?
I was just
going
to ask you, who did you oppose? Because was it a girl?
Yeah.
I'm trying to remember who it was. I remember it was someone that was fairly popular.
Yeah, it was a battle.
I'll know when I want to hear it.
Oh, I can't think of it, though.
Well,
my sister is screaming right now listening to the podcast because this girl's sister was also in her class. So she was talking shit in second grade.
I'm sure if you give me the name, I'm going to know it.
Kim Delahaye.
Ellen was friends with her sister.
Yes. Yeah. No, was friends with her.
Right?
With Kim.
Okay.
She had a younger one who was, but Ellen was in my grade. Ellen and Kim were definitely, Kim Deli was a good student, so she was probably in Ellen's class.
Yes, they're both
there. Yeah, because from sixth grade on, they had junior high and high school. You guys.
And they're both brilliant.
Yeah. Yeah, that's who I beat in fifth grade.
Mm-hmm. That was a Captain Morgan giveaway.
That was a coin.
Yeah. Coin Captain Morgan.
Captain
Morgan coins and Dunbo.
Remember Spud McKenzie?
Yeah.
Spud McKenzie was the
You had like a V-Eater t-shirt.
Oh, yeah.
You had no clue what it was.
My parents did not buy clothes. I only wore liquor promotions my entire childhood.
Yeah. I remember you with the Johnny Walker shirt on at some point for some reason.
100%. It was just so wild, like how much liquor stuff I wore. It's all I wore. Spud McKenzie, we were in sixth grade. This is literally Bud Light.
Yeah.
Yep.
And like we're wearing Bud Light t-shirts.
It was
constantly.
The 80s too. Aside from that, 100%. It was the 80s. It was a different era.
It was a different
era. I had Budweiser posters. I had Marlboro posters.
Absolute was everything.
Yeah. Absolute. Yeah. That was a little later in high school.
There was something. You had a pool table in your basement.
Yes.
And we never played.
It was all different, like liquor merch.
Yeah, my dad.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
Mirrors,
that's where we watched SummerSlam.
The framed mirror pictures.
Those couches.
Uh-huh.
Yep.
And Dart.
Board.
You had the best.
That's where I had my Nintendo. That's where we played.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
God,
video track and field.
Yeah.
Oh, man. We had some... We just would...
Yeah, we used to do the
Olympics. For hours.
Who was that kid that we went to Hebrew school with that lived on the corner of Oak Tree Road that wasn't where Krauser's was? He was across the street.
Oh, my God.
Right? Brian Alexa? What is that name?
Oh, yeah.
Is that the name?
Didn't he go to jail? Is that the same guy?
I'm not sure.
There used to be a gas station across from Krauser's and then an
X-Pass over.
Yeah,
Brian Alexa? Is that right?
If that...
I think I pulled that directly
and
out of my ass.
I'm pretty sure he got busted for a major drug sting, if that's what we're thinking.
Him or his dad?
Him.
Like later.
And remember you could get
like
to
we
the baseball field? You could get to North Edison's baseball field from his backyard, right?
Yeah,
exactly. Remember it was like a weird ride?
There was the
fire department was back there.
Yeah, you didn't play North Edison baseball.
I played 1 year Little League. I was, I played football. I played with
the Shamrocks.
North Edison Shamrocks.
Which I thought was the coolest.
I played John Longo was our center.
Yeah.
His dad was a coach. John Riggy was another.
He was a year older than me, but he was really good.
I remember
that.
Yeah,
he was
the sisters were hot.
I was a wide receiver.
That's why I remember that.
I think in three seasons, we won one game and tied one, and we lost. Like, we were like 0-6-1 every year.
Was there a kid in my class? Do you remember Michael Smith? Like a big dude with glasses.
Yes.
I remember Zelda, right?
Yeah.
Michael familiar. Smith, right? Is that his name?
Was he?
Really big dude?
I think so,
tall and like.
Yeah.
Like a big dude, Michael Smith.
He was more of the book type than
you know what's
type.
Crazy? Like, this is, there was actually a year where all three of us were in the same school. Oh no, you left.
I left.
Yeah.
You fucking left.
I left beginning of, was it either the end of sixth, the beginning of seventh. I think it was the beginning of seventh.
It was the beginning of seventh too, right?
Yeah. Because we started. John Adams is sixth, seventh, and eighth, right?
Yes, correct.
It was the beginning of seventh.
So,
there was one year, I'm telling you, I know this in my brain.
Yeah.
You were in eighth, Eric. Me and Andy were in seventh until he left.
And Marissa.
And Marissa.
And I was in sixth.
And you were sixth.
Yeah.
And
Ellen.
Yeah. And Ellen was sixth.
Yeah, of course.
Ellen was so much smarter than us in grades. Like, I didn't even like consider Ellen in our grade. I was like, she's going to Princeton. Right?
I
just remember.
Still, it translates to this day. I mean,
she was so brilliant.
Yeah. Really
she was always studying, though, which I didn't like.
Yeah, I mean, she found time for sports too. She was
a beast.
Yeah,
she's
smart. I remember we always used to try to get those Nintendo Power magazines just to find the little hidden stuff and get the cheat codes and everything else.
It was huge.
It was Contra. You were Contra.
Oh my god, look, up, down, down,
left, right, baby, start. Yeah.
Love that.
We all know.
What about? Let's talk more about Robbie's yard. Right. We did the jungle. Tell him about the casino story, Robbie.
Okay, the green box.
The green
box. Eric, that was on my yard.
It was out.
But that was an electricity box, and we used to catch worms, snakes,
frogs, turtles,
worms. That
was
we had trees.
And moisture.
We were fucking...
Nothing like that anymore. I never seen that in my yard. Now
it's just that little brook. It was filled with, like, tadpoles.
You mean the brook by
you? Yeah, used to go underneath you. Yeah, where I was in
the twins.
Yeah, we used to go down
there. Remember those things with the... There was so much little...
The punks.
Yeah, but
cattails.
We used to bring them out, bring them back, dry them out,
like rise them, like incense sticks, and they would keep the bugs away.
We would hang that green box like it was our fucking.
I remember it would be freezing cold. We would sit on it.
Yeah, stay warm.
That goes back to like it's November and it's beautiful outside. Like by October, it was fucking freezing. We had 16 layers playing football.
Yeah, the weather was way different.
Do you remember how obsessed with quicksand that was?
Yeah.
I thought quicksand was the most
important. We thought it was every 80s. In the 80s, everybody did.
Just like trying to make it.
We tried to figure out how to slip and slide.
Yep.
Yeah.
Slip and slide was
sliding down
stress.
A hill.
Sliding down the hill.
That was the best.
Remember at Fisher Bar, they had the.
We used to go there once in a while. Yeah. When we couldn't, we went down the hill in the backyard.
Of our backyard.
Burying the radio from my bike in my driveway the day before my driveway
paved.
It's still there.
I remember when we dug all these wrestling figures when we got a little older in those little trees.
I found a
Greg
the Hammer Valentine. I gave that to you.
I know. That was crazy.
I still look for more of them whenever I'm outside.
Childhood, man. It shapes you so much. It really does.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, we're literally 40 years later sitting here, like talking about this stuff like it's yesterday.
Yeah, it was 40 years ago this past summer.
It makes you who you are. You know what I mean? It really, you know, your parents and like what you do when you're young.
And the environment.
Yeah.
Like the jersey of it all.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Just the era.
I have one more fun thing about Gary and I. So Gary and I obviously devastated when you moved.
Yes, that was crazy.
Obviously, we stayed in touch, but obviously it was very hard. Yeah. It was far away. Like I was playing sports.
I remember calling you after the Jets lost the first game of the year the next year. The Jets played the Buccaneers, and the only person I wanted to talk to was you. It was one of the first times I talked to you since I moved.
Yeah.
And it was 1714. I have to look it up. It's 1989-90 season.
Something
I remember
like
that Buccaneers game vividly. Go ahead.
So stayed in touch for a while, but it was hard.
Yeah.
Like, I'm playing sports with girls and it's high school, and so we literally Gary and I lost touch for at least 10-12 years.
At least.
So funny story about this. Facebook had just come out at this point. My mom calls me. I'm running the wine program at Soho on George in New Brunswick, New Jersey. And my mom calls me and she's like, I swear, I just saw Gary's face on a billboard on the turnpike. Now, this is when Gary's running Wine Library for his father and everything. So at this point, I started like investigating or whatever.
Then now that it was Google.
Right. So like literally that's how we reconnected.
Yeah, Miami TV.
And how weird is it that like at this point I'm a level 2 som, you're running
crazy.
A massive, and we actually, it was a long time ago, but we actually did that wine show together.
I remember
that Italian wine tasting.
I remember.
I actually ended up buying that Rubio and carrying it for the wine.
I love it.
That I was running.
That's
the time.
Andy. That's how you got me connected with me too.
It's a very similar story.
These billboards in New Jersey were a good idea.
I was driving to work. I think I was on the Jersey Turnpike, and I look up and I see this guy's face on a billboard, Wine Library. And, you know, there's only one Gary Vaynerchuk. He hadn't changed. So I saw the website. I got to work that day.
Email.
I go to the website. It says, email Gary. I click email.
It was the best
email. Send him a nice 30
seconds. I called Robbie.
My fucking phone rings. He's like, get the fuck out.
I was so happy.
We hadn't spoken in, 20 plus 20 years.
Plus years. I was so...
And he's like...
And we got together. We got together in Robbie's yard pretty quickly.
Yeah, the reunion. Yeah.
Yeah, we had a get together. And then I just remember it was just like, you know, 20. I mean, I left so abruptly. I mean, I lived here for 10 years.
Yeah.
You know, my dad and my stepmom, you know, bought the condo in Dogwood Meadows, townhouse, rather. Dogwood Meadows, moved us in. They split up. It was like a sudden thing. We had no warnings. Just one day we got up. We're like, all right, you're going to move with your grandmother. Say goodbye. Pack your shit. And we were gone. And I never got to say goodbye to you guys.
Say goodbye.
Yeah.
Like, there was no cell phones, no Facebook. There was, I mean,
I was
even the
very
call
close
was like long distance.
Yeah.
So I'm like, oh, you can't make a long distance call.
Yeah.
I couldn't even, we spoke up.
You were very close to your sister, actually. Now that you said that, I remember that very vividly.
Yeah. Yeah.
The thing I remember about your sister the most was me coming home from camp with the fart spray and just chasing her. That's my biggest memory.
She was the best.
She was
a lot of fun.
But I mean, I just can, you know, think there were so many things we did. Like, was it you, Rob? Didn't we find like pepper spray once? I think maybe it wasn't you.
No, I don't think so.
I remember walking home and you might have been with me.
We love stink
somebody
bombs.
Found pepper spray and was like, oh, look, pepper spray.
I used to go from camp. And,
stink bombs.
Somebody sprayed it into the wind and it blew back in our faces and we just got like pepper
I was
spray.
There. I remember hearing the stories.
Robbie, back to Lindsay, if we can find Lindsay.
Yeah.
What about when Lindsay had like this shed that I was bleach blonde hair
no,
at this point.
I
was
right
blonde. There. No, you were like, even the picture, it's blondish.
Well, that's just because it's an old picture. That's,
fair enough.
Yeah.
But this is 1982.
May
the
I?
First couple, yes, you may, but let me set it up.
Yes.
We go into the shed. Now, Marissa and Lindsay were better athletes than all of us. We had like real like athletic, like they were all athletic. And like, we were like literally doing a, who can hit the wood in the shed with a hammer the hardest? We're 7 years old.
A regular
one. I'm six.
Like a regular
hammer.
Claw hammer.
Like a real fucking hammer. And we're like, boom, 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 taking turns.
Shit.
So now it's Robbie's turn. Now it's my turn.
Shit.
And I'm hitting this thing. And they're like, come on, harder. They're talking shit like they always do. Come on, you can hit harder. I take a swing. The claw part of the hammer right to the back of the head.
Yeah,
I
just so you know, think about it. Hammer, double-fisted, hammer in front of your face. Swing back. Hit.
Two hands.
He went into his head. Blood is gushing.
Yes. Lindsay's mom was a nurse. She took care of me, called my mom, walked me home. I went to the hospital, got 8 stitches.
I'll never forget that.
Yeah.
But yeah, the best yard, though. You're right. The jungle gym.
Dude.
It sucks now. Like,
the connection of
Robbie's
yard and my yard.
Yeah.
That was it. That was like the connection of those two.
That was our universe.
And I still live there, and I still got my back window every day, and I see your old house. I see your old
53 T-Berry Drive.
Yeah.
There's now two houses on our
I bring my kids trick-or-treating there when I have them up for Halloween.
I saw it.
They send trick-or-treating there every year until this year.
That's awesome. All right, boys. It's a wrap. I hope everybody enjoyed these stories. It's a fun little thing, but it's definitely meant to inspire some reach out. So on this Thanksgiving, while I know we have the long weekend and the long week, reach out to an old friend, find them, use Google, go use Facebook, do it. It is so worth it. The joy I've had with these guys the last 2 days is unparalleled. You can't replace, no matter how your life evolves, your childhood friends are your childhood friends. It's just super fucking real.
Yeah, it's totally real.
And I love you guys and nothing
but love you.
Love you
to death.
We wouldn't be the people we are today if we didn't have those experiences.
That was
100%.
Love you guys.
Love you guys too.
Love you too.
Awesome. Cheers.
Awesome.
Thanks so much for listening or watching to that episode of the Gary V Audio Experience. We really hope you enjoy it, and we hope to see you next time.